been like family, like I said before, and just helped me with many of the things that my family, who I still have right now, can't always help me with because they still have to raise children and like go to work and just continue with their lives. So Path Scholars has been a huge help for me, and I'm just so appreciative of everything that they've done.
I just want to really appreciate the emotion that Radesha shared, and I think that's one of the greatest things that I get out of this program is the depth that comes from these students is so remarkable. I get to work with the neatest young people ever, and they're so insightful and they're so caring and loving. So, I mean, I get just as much out of it as they do.
Thank you, Marina. Thanks for coming in, folks. I'll give you like a 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
I love Path Scholars.
Wow. One take.
It is 5:30 on a Monday, May. What is the date? 14th. Wow. Oh, sure has. May 14th already. So if it's 5:30 p.m. on a Monday, that means Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to us, will start momentarily. But before we do that, John, we do have some underwriting for you to read, do we not?
We do. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Knockout Collision Repair, Chico's high-tech auto body shop specializing in collision repair and restoration. At Knockout Collision, estimates are always free and can usually be done while you wait. And they even handle all the insurance paperwork. For an appointment or information, call Collision Repair at 899-9201 or visit knockoutcollisionrepair.com.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you to Knockout Collision. Most importantly, thank you to the listeners giving us an hour of your time this evening. We're going to have some fun, talk NBA playoffs, all sorts of stuff. Supreme Court made a major decision today that will affect sports for the years to come.
So pumped.
So we're going to get into all that. But first, let's kick off the intro.
We talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to us. Thank you for spending an hour of your evening with us here. We have a big, 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 big show for you guys tonight. Looking forward to getting into it. All sorts of stuff happened. As I mentioned, well, I don't want to give too much away. So, Derek, do you mind giving the people a little bit of a preview of what we have going on?
I do, yeah. I got a little something for everybody. The NBA playoffs are in session. Apparently, there's no place like LeBoston yet. Golden State versus Houston tonight. How long can Houston hang? John can finally live a carefree life. He is no longer criminal. Sports gambling made legal. The quest for the Stanley Cup, as told by our LA correspondent. We have a little North State update. Foot and mouth regarding our boy, our man, the myth. Not the myth, the legend, Mo Salah!
Salah!
That's the rundown, guys.
All right, so that sultry voice was the bearded bandito, Derek Isamaki.
What's good, party people?
I am your host, Jerome Gilbert. Alongside me, as always, our man, Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan.
What it do?
And of course, we got Statman Brad.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, let's...
Bad Albert up there?
Yeah, what was that? Let's start there. What was that?
That...
He's trying to find his intro. He's trying to find his intro, and he's just grasping at anything right now.
We'll keep working on it.
You gotta keep shooting your shot, and you gotta make one of them.
Hey, shooter's gonna shoot.
Yeah.
One day.
You know, you miss 100% of shots you don't take.
That day is not
Michael Jordan, as told by Michael Scott. Yeah.
So before we break down some NBA playoffs and get into our thoughts on that, I did want to say we have some housekeeping we need to do. We have not been the kings of follow through around here. We had an NCAA tournament in which I still owe a punishment of jumping into 1 mile before.
Yeah, but it's like 90 degrees at 8 a.m. now. So
yeah, that's an exaggeration.
That's a luxury right there.
But that still needs to happen.
Yeah.
And that probably, I think that needs to happen by the next time we do this show. And John still needs to dunk.
No. You guys need to witness me dunking. I've been dunking for the past couple months.
Okay.
Let's get real here.
That's the thing. He's had a chance to practice now. He's had a chance to get the boosties back up. He's had a chance to, you know, get those muscles that are barely ever used and by this guy. And, you know, he's good to go now. And it's like, it's a shame we didn't get him right when he said he could.
Hey,
I
didn't pop a hammy. I'll tell you that.
And let's get this done before our other bet coming in about the Padres.
Yeah.
So let's just get these two out before John has to wear something.
So, listeners, I'm putting this out to you. If we do not have this done by next Monday, what should the punishment for John and I be? One thing I was thinking, for those of you who don't know, we are all friends here, and we all go out after every show. Yep. We go and grab some drinks and just kind of catch up, see how everyone's doing, check in, discuss the show, watch some sports, which we will definitely be watching this Western Conference Finals game one here in a minute. So I was thinking, potentially, John and I, everything is on us moving forward. Until we get this done, the entire night is on us. Food, drinks, the whole nine.
That's going to make me want to get it done because Derek is an expensive drinker.
He really is an expensive drinker.
Wow, thanks for putting me out there. But
you're highbrow, some ways more or less, you're a classy dude.
I mean, I take my basics, you know? I keep it simple.
That's not a $17 shot is not basic.
I got that one time. One time, and it was like my very first time he has ever poured me a drink.
Yeah, that was the one time I was buying.
Yes. Wait, what drink was that?
The first and last.
It was a little bit of scotch.
It was single malt scotch.
Okay. Very nice.
But Lagavulin right there.
I do want to put this
Lind, out. Actually. Not England, but yeah.
Where's the difference?
No, I said single malt.
I thought you said England.
No, single malt.
I apologize.
Any Glen.
Okay, all right.
You need to get your headphones back.
I wear glasses, man. I cannot hear. I'm sorry.
God.
Nice.
But I do want to put this out to the listeners. So we have our friends over at Wild and Free have given us some shades and hats to give away. I want to give a pair of shades away today on the show. They were kind enough to donate to Talking About Practice and the radio station, so we want to give back to our listeners. So you can text us 530-213-3298 and give us suggestions for what the punishment should be. If we come up with a better contest, we will. But for the time being, if you come up with a good punishment, you'll win a pair of free shades.
Sounds good to me. What if I come up with a good punishment?
You don't get them.
You don't get it.
No, you don't get it.
You cannot come up with punishment for yourself.
I mean, it's kind of like coming up with a nickname. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Hey, Brad actually adds something that's very valuable. That was a great insight right there.
Thank you.
You're starting off well, Brad.
He's redeeming himself quickly. He started off poorly. So
we're
So let's transition. Let's get into the show. Let's talk some sports. NBA playoffs, we saw game one of the Eastern Conference Finals not going LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers' way. I don't think any of us saw that shellacking happening.
No, not at all.
I think we all thought Boston would put out a good showing. They are a better overall team than the Cavs, but the Cavs have LeBron James.
Yeah.
Initial reactions from after, well, I don't know if you all got to watch it, but we've all seen what happened, saw the final result. So initial thoughts, I'll start with you, Derek.
I feel that this, it looks like it's going to be, this is his toughest task to face alone. He's had a lot of tough teams, but he's always had another superstar there with him. When he had his road to the finals, he was there with his first road to the finals, Cleveland by himself, and he took on a very tough Spurs team. This Celtics team doesn't near rival that Spurs team, but it's still the toughest team he's ever had to face on his own with a team that he's got. Now, granted, there are some nice pieces out there he's got, but let's face it, these are people that he has gathered together throughout the season and said, okay, I'll take this team to the finals.
Yeah, in fact, the other day, you, myself, and Jordan went out for drinks and, well, for food, and then
it turned into
a bar crawl. Yeah. But that's besides the point. We were watching the first game of the season between the Cavs and the Celtics, and we were kind of laughing about how different the teams look. The teams that were on the floor in game one of the season and the teams that are facing now.
Yeah, I mean, there might be on either side three or four of the same starting five.
I don't even think that many.
No.
Yeah.
No.
LeBron.
I think what the Celtics showed, though, in game one is their depth. I think they had like a really secret... I mean, not secret, I guess, but just to the natural viewer of the NBA, I don't think everyone realized how deep this team really is. I mean, losing two all-stars in Gordon Hayward, granted the first 5 minutes of the season, you know, you can kind of find your identity, but Kyrie was, I mean, an MVP candidate before he went out with his knee injury. So, you know, the first half of the season, he was electric. To lose that kind of a player and then to have Terry Rozier step up the way he has in the playoffs, and even the last, you know, quarter half of the season, you know, Tatum, Horford being the kind of that anchor veteran, this team's scary. I mean, LeBron has had some weak teams in the past that he's kind of put on his back and pulled through, but I don't know if he can this time.
I mean, I don't know. I still got to believe he can just because he is still LeBron James, and that Celtics seems as good as the team that it is, they have no superstars in it. You know, and like when they get to the finals,
we talked about this last week, Tatum being a rookie,
they're potentially
isn't considered
potential.
A superstar, but 2-3 years from now, if he keeps up this consistency, he's going to be one of the best players, top five player in the league.
No doubt. But at the same time, you still need – this is a completely different arena at this point. You know, this type of pressure, this type of environment, and not to mention
– Yeah, let's keep that in perspective because this was a game one in
– Right.
In Boston.
In Boston.
Zero concern.
Yeah. That's what LeBron said after the game. Speaking of that, I actually want to get into the soundbite. Did you guys have obviously heard when he replays the... Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's amazing his recollection and photographic memory of everything in the last
two
minutes.
It's great seeing that lady ask that question with that phone in her
hand.
Does
he write all the two-minute reports of his own game?
I know, right?
Yeah. So let's get into that.
I mean, I think they scored 7 quick ones. Anything, what happened there?
What happened? We ran him the first possession. We ran him down all the way to 2 on the shot clock. Marcus Morris missed a jump shot, followed it up. They got a dunk. We came back down. We ran a set for Jordan Clarkson, and he came off and missed it. They rebounded it. And we came back on the defensive end, and we got a stop. They took it out on the sideline. Jason Tatum took the ball out, threw it to Marcus Smart in the short corner. He made a 3. We come back down, miss another shot, and then Tatum came down and went 94 feet, did a Euro step, and made a right-hand layup timeout.
That's what happened. Okay, thank you. Right.
It's rare that you hear the media applaud anything, but that is just insane. We've heard about LeBron's photographic memory before, but rarely do we get an insight like that. I mean, I've read... different articles about how he's been seen using 2 iPhones at the same time.
He should be the most interesting man in the world.
Seriously.
No, I'm sorry, that title is reserved for someone who's no longer with us right now, okay?
Okay, well, somber.
What do you mean?
Dos Equis, man.
He didn't die.
I know, but the character's no longer there.
Oh. Yeah. I was going to say, wait, what?
I'm sorry. No, not real.
You scared me.
Anyway, you have a real running record on the show of killing people before they're dead.
Hey, the guy is not, the character is no longer there.
I love Draymond Green, though, for the Warriors.
That was a great response.
They asked him this morning in a press conference if he heard the, you know, the after game press conference. And he's like, yeah, that's impressive, you know. And the reporter, she's like, yeah, you know, they gave him a standing, or they gave him a applause. And he goes, he deserves a standing ovation for that, because that's amazing.
It really is amazing.
The fact that he can recall the play for play, the second on the shot clocks, down to the T. This guy is above everyone in the league, yeah. And it's sickening. Coming from a Warriors fan that has to face this guy every single year, because it's been 8 years, calling it. It's going to be 8 years that he's making the finals.
So I kind of want to just go back.
Looking at you, Derek.
I don't know why you need to look at me with that.
I thought you were going to come at me with some weird...
I not say I'm already with LeBron going to the finals. I'm still with you on that.
Okay. Step in, Brandon. Yeah, I was going to say, going back to the difference in the lineups, the opening day lineups for Cleveland... was just Love and LeBron. After that, everything's different. Going to the Celtics.
Wait, Corver's still there?
He's not a starting lineup.
Yeah, no, but he wasn't starting lineup in the beginning. Starter. This is like the first game when it was Cleveland versus Boston, first game of the year. And then going back to the Celtics, the only people that were on the starting lineup was Horford, Tatum, and Brown. So there's only two people.
So
there
are five guys.
There's three.
So five total.
Two different and on Boston, three different on
Yeah, so five total. Starting players from this,
I just think in that series,
it just seems a lot different, though.
You have the young enough talent with the a great coach in Brad Stevens to kind of fit that mold to beat LeBron. You see in this game where they don't play that ISO game with LeBron. They don't let him get to his spots. Granted, it's been one game, but you see LeBron putting out 35 plus a game in this entire playoff series, and then going into Boston in his first game and putting up 15. 15-7-9 is still a great stat line to me. But still, I mean, they double team. They don't let him come up and get full steam, coming down the floor after, in half-court set. There's things that you need to do to LeBron's game to get him flustered, to get him, because you need the Cavs to beat you without LeBron. If Korver's going to go off or Love's going to go off for 30, 20 a game, live with it. But you can't have LeBron going off for 30, 40 plus a game and think you're going to win that series, because you're not. If he gets to a game 6 or a game 7, LeBron's going to take over and he's going to win that series.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to be interesting how he responds to game 2. That's what I'm excited for now. So
yeah.
It's a fun series.
I mean, there was a stat that says when LeBron loses a game 1 of the series, he wins the series. It just happens. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes.
That's another. You've been solid today. You know what?
I'm trying to redeem myself here.
Your beginning was ripped on the intro.
Yeah,
but you've recovered.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you've caught up to the race. In fact, I would say you're in the lead.
But
don't get cocky.
Yeah,
don't start Usain Bolting and looking around. You tripped at the gun.
You are nowhere near as talented.
As long as the teammates don't go PEDs.
Okay, now you see.
There it is.
The lead is giving up.
Give him enough rope, he'll hang himself.
Coming around the first turn, he already lost the lead.
Let's get everyone's prediction here, though. I know prediction's worthless, but Derek, we know Cavs. Cavs in 6 or 7?
Yeah, I said 6. From the 6 is what I said on our podcast.
I'm saying Cavs in 7.
I'm going to say Cavs in 6.
Be different.
I mean, this is stimulating radio right now.
Cavs in 5. All right, let's move on. No one cares. No one is going to even remember at the end of this. Hold on real quick. Before we do move on, I want to give shouts to TBP member Jordan, DJ J-Pounds. He did say, because the three of us were watching that game when Gordon broke his leg, and he did say on the podcast immediately following that he thought Gordon Hayward, going down might be the best thing for the Celts this year. And his point being is they have so much young talent that won't get developed because they're going to be trying to figure out how to fit in Kyrie and Hayward's game and mesh those. And instead, it was like, okay, we got one go-to guy, and the rest of these guys can actually just play.
Yeah.
And
then it just turned out to these, we have no go-to guys. These guys can just play.
Yep. So shouts to Jordan. We do have another series beginning in 12 minutes.
that I'm going to have to pop up here on the old iPhone and kind of watch in the background while we do our show.
Quick thing. Statman Dad says Celtics in seven. Just
okay. All
right. We need that. That's appreciated.
We're gonna hold you to that.
Yeah, we're definitely
holding you to it. We're holding that one to it.
Yeah.
Only one.
And if not, then you're jumping in 1 mile with me and Jarrell. Yeah.
Good luck, Dad.
All right. So we do have another series that we're all anxious to get out of here and go watch immediately following this show. Houston takes on Golden State. They are playing at home, or Houston is at home this evening at the Toyota Center, downtown Houston, Texas. We just drove by it a couple of weeks ago. What do you guys think? I don't want to go predictions just yet of I think it's going to be Warriors in five or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys just think about this matchup? Let's start there.
John, let's go. Come on.
Oh, me?
You're the Warriors guy.
I'm excited, man. I'm really excited because there's not – I mean, previous last 2 years with the Cavs and Warriors is how I'm kind of feeling with this series with the Rockets and Warriors. It's been kind of talked about the entire season, swept under the rug a little bit of, oh, let's, you know, Jazz are going to be, you know, you got to see how it plays out and yada, yada, yada. But now we're here. We have Rockets, Warriors. I'm really excited, man. The Rockets have done a really good job in this season's matchups, taking away at least Curry, Clay. It's hard to stop Durant. They don't have a lot of people to match up with Durant, but the way they've played Curry.
I don't think there's a man created that can stop Durant.
Touche. Maybe Kawhi.
LeBron.
But yeah, I wrote down in my notes before on air is I'm nervous and excited to see how Curry plays. I feel like how Curry plays is going to be kind of the deciding point of this series for the Warriors. They have, obviously, you know, and so many talented guys, and Draymond and, you know, Durant, Clay, all these guys can get it done. But the way that they've played, the Rockets have played Curry this regular season has really exposed him. Even his offensive game, you know, switching as much as they do. And they're lanky and athletic enough to cover and switch with Curry and all those guys. So I'm interested to see kind of how Curry plays out and fixes those problems of the regular season.
It will be interesting. They definitely do switch a lot. The Warriors have on paper a lot more firepower, and they've been locked in these playoffs, save Game 4 in San Antonio and Game 3 in New Orleans, but other than that, the Warriors have looked great. Meanwhile, I just don't trust James Harden to get it done. I think the Rockets can definitely get hot enough to beat the Warriors and take a game or two, or maybe even three. I just cannot see the Rockets beating the Warriors four times, even with the home court advantage. I think that gives them the potential to get three wins and push a game seven. I just cannot see this team.
Defensively, who do you think goes up against Harden? Because Harden's
Green.
Famous for those.
I mean, Thompson's still a great on-ball defender.
And so is Iguodala. Yeah. I mean, who do you throw in there to – do you switch? I mean, because the Warriors, I was watching, you know, or listening to the Lebatard show on ESPN Radio today, and they were talking about the Warriors are the second in the Western Conference next to the Rockets on switching off-ball defenders. So do you switch with Harden? Do you stay locked in with just Clay, or –
I mean,
do you get exposed and have Curry out there on Harden? Because I feel like if you get those kind of certain matchups, Harden's going to have a field day.
I mean, the only real guy out there that's like not really as switchable as everyone else is Curry. Everyone else is kind of switchable in terms of like who they can guard.
Well, that's the thing. You know? Yeah, you can throw a Klay Thompson. You can throw an Andre Iguodala. You can even throw a Sean Livingston.
Yeah.
I mean, Draymond Green can
take
on.
Draymond Green is going to be able to step up.
Durant's KD got some lateral. Yeah.
I'm definitely looking for them to try and put Curry in a lot of pick and roll and switching on to both Chris Paul and Harden pretty much the entire game. That's if I'm D'Antoni, that's probably what I'm looking for all day, is just play one-on-one. But the thing with that, if you get a couple misses and the Warriors can get out on the break,
that's where the Warriors get you. They go on those runs, you know, they go on those fast break push transition, you know, buckets. And
yeah, and I think the Warriors would almost prefer that the Rockets attack just Steph Curry and get lost in just trying to take advantage of that matchup instead of just playing their game, because the Rockets are really great at driving and penetrating and dishing, and they've done it all season long. They've hit more threes than anyone by a lot, and that's That's where you worry. You worry about them getting hot. But if they're not hitting their threes, the Warriors can play so many different ways. It's just, it's hard to see the Rockets.
I mean, you mentioned half of it. The Rockets have James Harden, who you cannot trust, and the other half of the equation is Chris Paul, who you cannot trust.
Who's the first Western Conference final?
In 13 years.
Yeah.
I don't put that so much on Chris Paul,
yeah.
Whereas I put a lot more on James Harden. Even in the closeout game the other night, apparently he wasn't feeling too well. Those strip clothes really get to you. Staying out late night, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, come on. The guy got his jersey retired at a strip club. But regardless, if you look at, what was it, game 6 or game 7 last year against the Spurs, and he had 6 points and completely disappeared after playing.
He was out for the last 4 minutes of that entire game.
Yeah, and he put up like 50 in the game before that, you know? And then if you look at the Rockets' greatest accomplishment with James Harden on that team is what? When they came back against the Clippers and they were down 17 and Josh Smith went absolutely crazy and they came back from a 17-point deficit with, I think, 5 minutes. There was like 5 minutes left in the game or something to save their season. So I just, until I see James Harden do it, I just can't trust him.
Yeah.
He's in the Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan.
It's that effect right now. They don't have enough star power around. I mean, I don't feel like, you know, Ariza or Gordon or any one of these guys can have those.
Clint Capella.
Yeah, Capella. They can't have a 2-3 game stretch of 20 to 30 points in a game to take you over the hump of beating the Warriors. I don't. Which takes me to my next point.
Well, you have points.
Houston is favored in this game.
Yep,
tonight.
Point and a half.
Well, they're at home.
They're at home, yeah.
For all you New Jersey people out there, take Warriors.
You don't even need a
minus
jersey.
Minus 1.5.
You can be anywhere in the world.
Not yet,
yeah. We'll get to that, though. Anything else on this series? What do we think is going to happen?
Warriors in 5. Boom.
I thought we weren't doing this.
Oh.
Are we doing this right now?
Yeah. Warriors, that's going to say that.
I mean, yeah, Warriors in 6. Yeah, taking Warriors. But since we're on the topic, let's just jump into it right now.
The player haters ball.
Oh, man. Hey.
Why you wanna play hate on me?
This week's target of my hate, James Harden. I have nothing wrong with him personally, besides his stupid beard. His mohawk. What are you, Mr. T? His short shorts before the game. What are you, in the 80s? And his general lack of playoff success. I remember him disappearing in the 2010 finals when he played with OKC. He was a non-factor. I just mentioned two other times that he has completely disappeared. And in general, I absolutely hate watching the guy. I don't enjoy his game. I don't enjoy his mohawk. I don't enjoy his beard. I think the only thing that I can say that I really respect and admire about James Harden is the fact that he is one of the first players, if the first player ever, to get his jersey retired in a Houston strip club. Now that, my friend, that's admirable. But the rest, everything else about you, you dated Khloe Kardashian. But see, I got it. You know what?
Ooh.
What?
And he got out of that situation because his game started to suffer. He was having kind of a rough season. He broke up with her. What do you know?
Game got better.
James Harden. If you shave the beard, I understand why you don't. You got a soft jawline. And I don't like it. And I don't like you. And it's not even anything against you personally again. It's just the way you drive and you throw your arms into someone else and you flail like you just got shot. It's just, it slows the game down and it's not what I'm here for. You're not the old man at the rec. You can dunk. You're explosive. You got crazy handles. You're a great player. We don't need to go to the free throw line 17 times a game to prove a point, to get easy buckets, to slow down the game. Yes, is it smart? Sure. Be the first to admit that. It's genius. But do I like watching it? No. I'm busy. Let's get through these games. I don't want to see James Harden parade to the free throw line. So that's it. James Harden, you are this week's target of player haters ball. Moving on.
What else do we have? You got some.
You got some news to finish something.
What?
We can go to North State Update if you guys want to.
Do you have news today?
I got some news.
All right, we don't have to go right into it. Let's do this because it is about to be 6 p.m. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, California. We are listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Once again, I see the phones are blowing up. We can't really answer the phones live on air because this is a talk show, so it would be kind of weird. But you can text the show, 530-213-3298. Once again, text the show anytime, 530-213-3298. That's how you get in touch with us. We still have zero suggestions for punishment, so either you guys are just
watching the Warriors.
Watching the Warriors, probably, and not listening to the show, which is I would advise. Or you're just not that creative, so I'm calling you out. 530-213-3298. What should John and I's punishment be if we do not pay off our bets this week? We got some free shades for y'all from Wild and Free. You can check them out, wildandfreelife.com. I got some fly gear over there, so go ahead and do that. But that's enough housekeeping for now. Derek, you do have some news?
I do. I got a couple stories, a few stories for us to tantalize you.
Let's jump into it.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That's right, guys. A little news action for you. Not breaking. Rather late, though. In this new article I was reading today, I saw that if you have a keyless car, you're in danger of dying. What? That is right. There is a new report that is out that said roughly 24 people have died since 2006 from their keyless cars because they forgot to turn off their cars in the garage and suffered carbon monoxide poisoning. So careful out there, guys. If you have a keyless car, turn it off. And that's all they're trying to say out there. But I just kind of found that interesting. Having been not a victim of carbon monoxide poisoning, but have been a victim of forgetting to turn off the car of a keyless car. It's careful out there, guys. It's some of those cars run rather silent, especially those Priuses out there. You don't know if they're on or they're not.
Okay.
Not gonna touch that one.
No. Well, nothing too.
Fair warning for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We serve our audience.
Now, I don't know about you guys in our overly sensitive culture of consent and what are we allowed to do. There's a new sexuality expert out there, Deanna Carson from Australia, that said that when you are changing your baby's diaper, you must get its consent first. How, Deanna? How do you do that? She obviously knows the babies can't talk and verbalize their responses. But she says, read their body language and they'll let you know if you can change their diaper or not. Because the baby knows if you're allowed to touch it or not. And that's when it starts. At a young age.
Oh, man.
From birth.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, guys, if you're touching your baby without asking first, you are putting that baby through some trauma. Hashtag me too.
Have you guys had a chance to see?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was not necessary. Oh. That was a little heavy-handed.
That's what they're going for. I'm repeating what she said. If you don't get the baby's consent, you're not establishing it.
Have you guys had a chance to see that Maury clip where the guy says, that can't be my baby. I'm 6 foot tall. That baby's short. amazing. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm a baby.
Last story of the evening. There is a New Jersey student in a high school that unfortunately didn't make her cheerleading high school team.
Aww.
That's so sad, right?
That's a bummer,
yeah.
Princess.
That's tough. Her mom didn't like that fact that she didn't make it, so she complained to the school board, which forced to expand its exclusionary tryout program and pretty much place everyone who wanted to be a cheerleader on the squad. That's right, guys. You don't have to earn it anymore. All you gotta do is complain and say, hey, I want to be there, and you're there. That's right. At this New Jersey high school, at Hanover Park High School, The cheer coaches were forced to accept all comers who wanted to be on the cheer program and let them be cheerleaders. So that's where we're at, guys.
Takes you to that age-old debate if cheerleading's a sport or not.
Did you know the LA Rams just hired two African-American male cheerleaders? First male cheerleaders
in the NFL?
In the NFL.
Wow. Good for them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're referred to as yell
leaders. Did they complain a lot? Yeah. Or? Because apparently they took a page out of New Jersey and got on.
Well, how do you know they took a page out of New Jersey? Maybe they didn't complain at all.
Maybe
the LA Rams wanted to have some flair and on
maybe
their
they're actually
sidelines.
Good enough to be on the team instead of complaining.
There are some people out there that would like to appreciate a guy flipping around out there. Okay?
All right, Becky, just try your kicks a little bit more.
But yes, that's where we're at. Hanover Park High School. If you want to be a cheerleader and didn't make your squad, go out to New Jersey. You can be there. You can be one there.
Or practice more.
Or find a new sport.
Wait, I'm not going to get into that one.
It is.
All right. Thank you for the news. We appreciate that. Thrilling as always. Statman Brad's North State Update.
Facts.
He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
How's it going, y'all? North State Update time. Chico State baseball and softball is in action this weekend. Softball was over there playing for their West Region lives, and baseball playing to hopefully get into the West Region. Chico State baseball actually made it.
Yay!
But didn't do too well in this CCAA tournament, beating Cal Poly Pomona 4-3 in a walk-off win. Losing to UC San Diego and then losing to Cal State Monterey Bay 2-8. So they basically had to have Cal Poly Pomona just under them. And luckily with the win at the CCAA tournament, kind of gave them an edge. They squeaked in at the sixth spot, the last spot in the West Region. They'll be playing Cal State Monterey Bay the first game, the team they lost to in the CCAA tournament. So looking for revenge against the number one team in the West Region. They'll be playing game one on Wednesday. Time has not been notified yet, so we'll see and we'll let you know through Twitter. But Chico State softball wins. Great weekend here at Chico. They advanced to the Super Regional. There are 16 teams left in the softball playoffs. What?
His
Wildcat was a little weak.
It's a little off.
Yeah. There we go. So they will be playing in the Super Regional against Dixie State. First game is May 17th at 5 p.m. That's a Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And then game two is the 18th at 3 p.m. And then the next game is the 18th at 5:30, basically right after, if necessary.
Three-game series.
Best of three.
Let's go, ladies.
Winner goes to the championship World Series in Salem, Virginia. So root on your Cats this weekend, Thursday.
Yes.
So that's it's a very short North State update, but
killing it though, ladies. Yeah. Thanks for putting Chico on a map this
year. We're very excited to see the number two in the team in the nation kicking butt, taking names. So go Wildcats.
Wow.
I'm not going to work it. So, moving on.
I said it
was a very short
usually
one.
Usually there's and that's your North State update.
Sorry, and that's your North State update.
There we go. Thank you.
Very welcome.
You had a good sign off there last time, man. You missed it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know.
You're working on it. It's coming along.
So let's do this. Let's talk about this major news from the Supreme Court today. They overturned a 24-year-long ruling. Oh, you know what? Let's do that first. Let's do underwriting, and then we'll discuss this case.
Yes. Yeah, let's do that. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Grocery Outlet of Chico. Independent owner and operator Chris Hostetler brings locally grown and produced items as well as fine brand names in groceries,
housewares, health and beauty products, including organic, and has fine wines and more. Chico Grocery Outlet is open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. on weekends at 2157 Pillsbury Road next to Kmart. Find them on Facebook and groceryoutlet.com.
So we have our first response for a suggested punishment. We should talk, do 4 minutes on or reporting on Olympic badminton, the next curling.
Already been there, done that. Love badminton.
I like where we're headed. I like, here we go.
That is creativity.
That is the in the leader.
Not because you're the only suggestion. You have to look up leagues,
you have to come up with players'
names. I was
going to
say, wouldn't that be a punishment also for the listeners to like actually listen to that?
Not if we do our homework.
And
I'm actually interested in this right now.
This person probably sees the future and knows that that's probably the big sport coming
the
around.
Next
and
we're just,
it's the next curling. It's the next curling. Did you not hear?
Who doesn't love curling?
Everyone loves curling.
2 years away, man. 2 years away. Prepare yourself.
You saw how excited I got.
All right, yeah. You got really into curling.
Hey, USA.
Badminton's next for you, buddy.
Yeah.
So
Olympic champs.
Let's discuss this ruling by the Supreme Court today. So they ended a 26-year-long rule about states being able to essentially take ownership over their decision whether to allow sports betting and wagering or not. And they decided that the states can decide on their own.
Yeah.
And so New Jersey is the very first state, besides obviously Nevada, who is going to legalize gambling. I was reading about this a little bit earlier, and Nevada alone, their sports book took in over $4.8 billion just in Nevada alone in wagers made on sports last year.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. It's groundbreaking in the sense that it's going to open up, it's going to be a floodgate and open up the doors for every other state. I'm pretty sure there's already 12 or 13 states that have it written.
I saw a dozen
into their legislation for this year. But I mean, let's be honest. That's part of sport. That's why we watch Northwestern Hampshire State in South Dakota.
Let's not say why we watch it. There are some families out there that like that team. You like it because you're a degenerate person. That's why you like it.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll put that out there.
Thank
that's
you.
Fine.
Let's just not say that's why we all watch it.
But that's why we watch those type games.
You degenerate South people.
Except for alumni of those schools.
Exactly.
Because let's be real. Without that, you wouldn't watch those games.
There's no rooting interest.
But, I mean, it's great that it's in the realm of sports betting. This is what I like, is the fact that it's not a gambling legislative pass world, you know, countrywide in the sense of cards and roulette and all this stuff that goes with kind of the persona of Las Vegas or Nevada.
Yeah, they're not going to start building casinos next to 7-Elevens.
Right, exactly.
No, I mean,
exactly.
New Jersey already has Atlantic City.
But what's going to be interesting, true, but what's going to be interesting is you're going to have now sanctioned legal bets even in sports stadiums. I mean, you think about
the NCAA. Did we talk about that when Vegas was going to?
Yeah, but the NCAA, all these professional and amateur conglomerates have voted against this for the last, you know, 6-7 years, and now that it's becoming legal, they're taking it on in a sense of, I get the integrity factor of why these organizations are worried. Going back to the Lakers Kings series and the referees that are shaving points and stuff like that, and coming up with the 2-minute report to keep people accountable, but it's great for the realm of sports in the same sense of for college. I feel like, you know, I mean, there's the professional game has reached a point to where these kids are getting astronomical amounts of money, and it won't affect the integrity side, I feel, to someone coming up and being like, hey, you know, maybe shave a couple points and I'll give you $20,000. You know, when these guys are making $300 million, it's not going to be a factor. What's interesting to me and to see how this plays out is the college realm. These kids that are on scholarship, that are making nothing, that are sending, you know, loans back to their families to pay bills, and getting into a national championship game. Who's
who's to say that they're not going to shave points for a $250,000 check?
See, I feel like that's maybe where they should try to draw the line, is try to maybe try to take out the sports betting
but
from
that's
college.
What it is. It's amateur and professional.
I get that. But I feel that, because like, let's face it, when it comes to professional sports, the integrity is already lost the moment you start paying people to play. Like, that's,
you think?
Oh, yeah. The moment you start playing, you start throwing money into anything, the integrity is gone, because it's no longer the sport, the aspect of competitiveness. It's all about the money at that point in time. You're all about trying to, because if it was, it would be like this complete, if no one got paid, you would have a way better, more competitive system out there. As guys be able to pick where they want to go or something like that. You try to level the playing field when you start paying people, so the integrity is essentially gone from just the competitive aspect, the pureness of the sport. That's what I'm trying to say. There's not that, you know, it's not just us playing the sport on the street. You know, it's, you know, oh, we're now being paid for it. It's a business at this point. So that's where I feel the integrity is gone. I feel like they should try to keep that just in professional realm. I wish they could somehow, because I know sports betting is huge in college, no matter what. Like,
right.
You know, tons of people bet on that.
March Madness is one of the most heavily betted on series ever
and
in the world. So
I think it's for you to be able to make that much money on something that they're not making any money on. To me, it just is. There's something logically wrong about it.
I thought it was interesting, too. There's been a few ESPN analysts that have kind of gone to the realms of ownership. I mean, you look at Dan Gilbert of the Cavs owns multiple casinos. You know, what does this mean for people that already have their hands in those kind of style pockets for professional betting? I mean, it's a way to get whether it be laundering or to get money on the back end that people don't know about. It's just a hairy situation. I feel like there's going to be problems that arise in the first few months of all of this coming out, and New Jersey is going to be the groundbreaker on this to kind of hopefully to set the bar to where we should be in standard. But
yeah,
there needs to be more regulation, more money put in. Hopefully, not just into player salary and salary cap and investment into TV rights and stuff like, but to the, like you said, to the
consumer should get a break. You know, we should be able to go to games for a lot cheaper at that point.
Right, but also keeping the integrity. Let's put money back into systems that are keeping players and referees and ownership accountable.
The problem is, though, everything, though, is going to become susceptible to the money that you're creating from there.
Correct.
The amount of money that you can make off of this is ridiculous, and you can use a lot of power with that. And ultimately, you know, they say absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And that's what's going to happen. I feel like it's just a slope that we're already on, and it was inevitable we got to this point in time. I feel it's just inevitable before we get to the point where we're like back in that time where like the mob's kind of running it or something, you know?
And if you read the opinion of the court, Congress, it is still up to Congress whether they want to basically be the ones who oversee and legislate this entire thing, or if they're going to leave it completely up to the states. Congress has final say on that, and they haven't voted on it yet.
Right.
There hasn't even been a bill written about it yet. So,
I mean, that's what we want, more power to them.
But it's a win. It's a win-win.
Can we stop giving Congress all this power? They got enough stuff to worry about.
But if you look at it in the sports realm, it's still a win-win for the sports enthusiast, the consumer, the watcher, the bettor. Regardless, it's going to be legalized. And that's
correct.
That's what needs to kind of transpire, because this black market of betting has been around for close to 100 years, and you have no regulation, no wherewithal of what it's actually making, besides obviously Nevada and their sports books. But what's interesting to me is what is the rest of the states, New Jersey, I think,
sure.
Mississippi, West Virginia, some of these states that are already in legislative legislation to try to get passed for their own states. What is this going to do for Vegas sports books? Who is ESPN going to follow now? Is it going to be?
Well, that's what I was wondering. Who sets the line now?
Yeah, right. Is it, because Vegas has always set that line, has always put that pretentious number in there to be what we bet off of or what we think this outcome is going to be. Now you have, you know, New York, New Jersey's, like you said, with Atlantic City, there's a big gambling state. How is that going to affect lines? Are we still going to be going off of Las Vegas numbers? Are we still, who's going to play into that?
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. There's so many moving parts, but I think anything like sports gambling, we saw this with marijuana, right? When the stigma dies, there's a fear of it becoming essentially the Wild West, right? That's what we thought when we had, when we legalized marijuana recreationally in Colorado. We were like, oh my God, not us in particular, but right. Some of the reaction you saw was, this is going to create so many more problems than it solves. And Colorado seems to have done a pretty good job of transitioning, making it legal, putting in enough statutes and taxing it enough that it seems to be working. You're never going to eliminate a black market.
Yeah, right. You can't. Yeah.
You really can't. As long as there's taxes, there will always be a black market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if people can cut corners, they will whenever they can. But I don't think there are a lot of concerns. And to Derek's point, I think, regarding amateur sports, that's when I would be more concerned than these professional sports, for certain. Because like you said, John, $250K can change a kid's life. $250K to someone like aforementioned James Harden doesn't change his day.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly.
I mean, it's a nice day for him.
It's a
nice day. It's like, all right, I'm having a good day today.
It's a nice
day. For that dude, it's like, I'm having a great life.
Right.
Like, exactly. Getting college, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, even, let's go lesser. I mean, even less than, I mean, even $100,000, $50,000 to a kid that is struggling through to feed himself in school, let alone being a D1 athlete and having to go through this regimen. Who's to say that he's not going to trip and fall on the 5-yard line and not score that last touchdown?
I mean, not to mention, you can get it a lot easier there because a lot of those kids are not going to be making the pros.
Right.
And they're like,
yeah, right.
This is your only chance to make a real big money.
And how do you regulate that?
Yeah. Hey, it's going to be tough. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be impossible to completely regulate. It's going to happen. You have to just feel it.
Yeah.
my stepbro used to tell me all the time, one simple phrase, can't stop the money. And whenever there's money to be made, people will figure out a way to make it. So let's move on. We do have our hockey expert on the line, do we not? Aaron, do we have you there? That's a big no. So we'll try this again. Statman Brad will try to get in touch with Aaron. Before we do that, any parting words on this ruling?
I'm pumped that I'm in the legal realm these days.
I'm sure you were. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't, like, I feel like it hasn't changed anyone's day, really.
Yeah, except for mine.
I'm just saying, because
except for mine,
it's been nice, but like in terms of the launching, because people are already doing it, you know?
Right. People are already doing it, but you have this kind of back end notion of whether it not be right or, like you said, illegal. No one can see but the quotes.
Yeah, all right. I mean, well, I'm glad you feel like you're in the shining light right now.
No, I did. It's been a long time coming. I mean, for something that's a multi, just in Las Vegas or in Nevada alone, is a multi-billion-dollar, you know, establishment and concept, is going to be nationwide and taxed, is great for our country. Let's be honest.
Hopefully,
a lot of revenue that can be generated.
Yeah.
All right.
That we can pay right back to Congress for the raises.
Yeah. A lot of gambling talk right now.
All right. Let's transition to our hockey expert. This time, Aaron, do we have you?
I'm here.
Hey, all right. Success, success, success. We got to come up with a drop for Aaron. She's been on the show so frequently. So, Aaron, good. Thank you for being here. As always, we appreciate it. Good to talk to you. Update us. I know we have a game tonight. We have the Golden Knights, right? The Golden Knights are playing Winnipeg.
They're playing Wigget. They're playing in Winnipeg. Right now, they are winning 2-0, at least last time I checked. And it was into the second period. So this looks good for them since they dropped game one against Winnipeg.
Who's got the home advantage in this one? The home field advantage?
Home ice. Winnipeg's
got home court advantage.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So they can take this one. It's going to be good for them. They've got real potential to go to the final. So crossing our fingers.
Now on the Eastern side, how do you feel about the Caps, Aaron?
I mean, they're up 2-0. And even though Tampa Bay is favored, you know, they're on fire. And Ovechkin is finally starting to get it together, you know, becoming the leader of the team. So, you know, they have a real good shot. And I think that the most compelling Stanley Cup final is the Caps versus Vegas. So
I have a tough one in that because I really want to see Ovi win.
Like, right.
Yeah,
who doesn't want to see a first year franchise win?
Yeah,
it's easy to forget them.
So who do you have in the race now? Obviously your Kings weren't in it. Who do you have in the race?
I mean, I like the Vegas story. It's a great one. I know that they had a much better draw from the draft. But still, it's an insane story, the fact that they are, you know, a brand new team. And they're at the NHL Conference Finals. That's absolutely historical. So it's exciting.
It's crazy. Well, we appreciate your time. Sorry to rush you this week.
No worries.
We just we talked about gambling for way too long.
I got excited. Hey, but, I'm sorry.
Hey, real quick.
Yes.
This was Trent's idea. If you keep welching on your bet, he said that for every week that you keep welching, you should run a mile in addition to the original bet.
Oh, so, my God.
All right.
Oh,
there we go. All right. That's my nephew right there.
Hey, shouts to young Trent.
Thanks, that's touchdown.
Yeah. So you trying to get me in shape, or what are you trying to do?
Yeah, just
well, we got to run off our
Yeah, that's some good motivation right there.
No, that is. Yeah. That is. That's solid. Shouts to Trent. Thank you, as always, Aaron. We will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, your sister, solid as always. Thank you to Aaron Isumaki. Does the research, comes prepared, unlike most of us here, and absolutely crushes it. We love having her on the show. So, once again, thanks to her. From one Isumaki to the other.
Now, it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Isumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Yes, thank you very much. That is such a great intro. I've been having one of those days today for sure. A lot of foot and mouth moments for me today. I'm sure you've been listening on and probably tallying it up. Let me know how many I've had by the end of the show. I need to know. But we have a great foot and mouth because we're honoring the man, the legend, Mo Salah! That is right. Our man, Mo, has taken the Premier League scoring record. This past weekend, Liverpool and the rest of the Premier League played their final match of the season. And in that match, Mo Salah scored the goal that broke the tie. 32 goals in that league competition. 38 games, 32 goals. Took the league record. And congratulations, Mo Salah. Well deserved. You are on a pedestal on your own at this point and deserved it. It is fun to watch you play, and I cannot wait to see more of you in the Champions League final that will be happening on May 26th. So we don't have about 2 weeks away or so.
And the World Cup.
And the World Cup. We get to see you there, too. Hopefully you shine in both because you have been spectacular, brother. And I cannot wait to see your future and where you're going with this Premier League. Obviously, a lot of clubs. Real Madrid. Barcelona probably will be, too. We'll be calling at you. They'll be looking to get you across into their leagues. Join the realms of the legends out there. But hopefully you stick with Liverpool. It's fun to watch this squad. You, Roberto Firmino, Sadio Mane, all three of you have had a spectacular season. I hope to keep all three of you on board for next.
We just got to have like LeBron email.
Yeah.
Oh, and be like, dude, just stay with
me. Just stay. Liverpool. Yeah, you're good.
Send your best.
Yeah, yo, man, trust me. It's all good. But he is the most talented person at this point. Now people are going to be coming after him. He is a special player. I mentioned him on the pod, but Yaya Toure, the guy that I have honestly liked for such a long period of time. He has been fantastic. Played alongside Didier Drogba, one of my also favorite players. He finished his career up with Man City. So shouts to you, Yaya.
Yaya.
And we got a lot of fun coming up. Next weekend, we actually do have the Europa League final. Marseille versus Atletico Madrid. So you're going to see Antoine Griezmann try to take the Europa League title, which is a nice consolatory prize if you can't win the Champions League. At least it gets you, gains you access into the Champions League next year. But, hey, good time for football. And like I said, World Cup is only days away. Almost more than a month. Like, less than a month at this point. It's about 28 days or so. So can't wait for that. Also, this past weekend, I met my boy Yusuf over at Taps. We're grabbing a little drink there to cure some hangover remedies.
Good guy.
And, we just started talking football the entire time for about, 30 minutes to 45, and it was just a good time. Hopefully he's listening on. Talk to him.
Who's his squad?
He is a Real Madrid and Juve fan. Yeah. So he's really going for it. I was talking about, so you're really on that Champions
Real
League
and
front.
Juve?
Yeah.
Sounds confused.
Well, he, like I said,
different leagues.
Yeah, two different leagues. Yeah. He watches the Serie A and La Liga. Those are the two leagues he watches. And, you know, it's easy. I mean, Juve's a fun squad, too. So, yeah. And, hey, Juve won their Italian League squad as well. So all the leagues are finished up at this point in time, at least the major ones in Europe. And we're just waiting for those the
so Champions League. We're just looking forward to Champions League and World Cup.
And World Cup, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So we got a little break, a little time to, you know, some consular matches. I know the Copa del Rey final is still coming up for Barcelona. And that's the last point I had to make. Barcelona was on the verge of having a perfect season in La Liga, not dropping a single game. And they lost 5-4 to Levante in the last game of the season. So, a hat trick from Coutinho was unable to save the day as they dropped the points and weren't able to maintain that perfection. So sorry, Barcelona. I know Barcelona's really
good run.
It was a nice run.
So, I mean, like impressive the fact they got this far without a loss. I mean,
I think it had been done before. Real Madrid had done it, I believe, at one point.
Yeah, I
know.
Heard sometimes
there are some leagues other way. I know Arsenal did it in the Premier League at one point, and that was a special season. But anytime that you cannot drop any games, not drop any points whatsoever in a game, that is a special thing. And like I said, Leo Messi didn't even play that game, so you probably should have put him in there. But hey, more important things out there. That's foot and mouth, guys.
Solid, solid, solid show, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate the listener suggestions. We will announce the winner on next week's show.
To choose from.
We do. Want to thank the guys from wildandfreelife.com for donating some swag for us to give to our listeners. We got a bunch more stuff coming up from them. Their gear is awesome, so I'm wearing the hat and shades right now. So, shouts to me for looking fresh. Thanks to the guys. Thanks to y'all. We'll be back next week. We appreciate you spending your evening with us, but that's going to do it for us here at Talking About Practice. We're out of here. Peace.
Game over, man. It's game over.
The show starts right
now. Here it is.
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
It's like he had to think for a moment before he remembered where it is. It's here. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes without saying, doesn't it? That you don't want to go to prison. Of course, I just said it, so it didn't go without saying there. It went with saying. But it turns out you don't even want to know somebody who's gone to prison. For a reason you probably can't even imagine. So I'm going to tell you about it, because that's part of my job. And it's not really a job. An American communications firm, and this is the magic of the marketplace at work, isn't it? It provides